Hey, Derek.
Hey, Troy.
Dude, it's a beautiful Tuesday here in Lake Wells, Florida. We're on the pool deck to do episode 49 of Beyond the Curve, the MX podcast. Another road trip, lots of racing here in Florida, lots of racing out of Florida. And it was Triple Crown. And I know you and I talked about Triple Crowns, and we're not the biggest fans. Live, if you can be in the stadium during time qualifying and LCQs, it's not bad.
Yeah.
I still don't like them on TV because you miss those LCQs because there's some very exciting racing that occurs. But live, as a industry person or pit party person, you can kind of get in and it's not bad.
Well, good.
So,
It on TV it sucked.
yeah, I'm
So
still not a fan of, but the racing live was
the
outstanding
two
because
50s sucked. I don't want to say the 450s sucked. The 450s were actually pretty good.
you can see, I tell you, on TV, you only get to see what they're showing you. And the live, you choose what you watch, so it's a little different. I can understand the crowd liking them because they get to see everybody so many times. But for a fan of the sport, the artistry is lost because the part of the event you don't even get to see if you're a fan of the sport, unless you're just there. So we were there. The Dome of the Americas, damn, dome is huge. It's a big dome. Everything's inside. Pits were inside. Semis were inside. Fan Fest inside. So, no matter the weather, obviously they had an inch of rain when they brought the dirt in on Monday. So that's why it was so ruddy. Track did shape up nicely, but no. Let's jump into it, man. Both of us got lives to live and work to get done, and we got some racing to talk about locally here. So let's jump in. First race.
Yeah, it was I mean, obviously, well, start with qualifying real quick, 'cause we have or qual not qualifying, last chance qualifier.
Okay.
Obviously, not everybody got to see it. I'm just gonna go just real quick, how our local boy Slade Varola, I don't want to say he's local, but local race team rider,
Yeah.
just missed it again, which it sucks for him, but he's got the speed, he's there. I'm just waiting for him to make that next move. But I mean, that was really it that I wanted to cover on that, because but we had the Talon Hawkins, Stapleton, Varese, Jorgensen.
Maddie, that's 2 weeks in a row for Maddie.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And especially to make it in on a Triple Crown night, it's hard to do,
Dude,
so.
that they're pressing so hard, one, to be that top 40, but then you can see top guys just hammering out laps and qualifying to try to be top 18 so they don't have to go to the LCQ. I mean, it is nuts watching the backside of qualifying and watching them try to get that hot lap to try to get in. So yeah, I mean, it was the LCQ. There, nothing too exciting, but like you said, Slade was right there on the bubble, and it's just you're like, something's got to pop at some point, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, he'll get there. I mean, we're running out of time for the West
Yeah.
Coast. We're running out of time, period. We're what, round 12, 17.
And the next race is, it was only an East Coast, but then they do the East West, and
Yeah.
that's going to be a tough one.
And we'll be there. I'm excited to watch that,
Yeah.
to get them all in the same place at the same time. It's going to be
You
busy,
want to talk
but
about intense qualifying?
yeah, it's going to be cool. I'm actually really excited to watch that. But yeah, race one, it's pretty cut and dry for all these races, at least
Yeah.
in the top spot. Levi Kitchen has only raced 17 total rounds in his pro career, and he's dominating.
What's funny is he made a shift, a big shift that a lot of people questioned, and he came out this week and said,
He loves the bike.
I just didn't want to, I don't want to always just do motos. I want to sometimes work on sections, sometimes work on something that's different, and the PC program allowing me to do that. And if that's all it took, you know,
Well,
everybody's different.
it's clearly working,
Yeah.
and Star Yamaha has a different approach to racing this year. The average team has, no, factory team has like five guys.
Yeah.
They're in total of about 12 now, so they're taking a different approach where it works, because they're getting more top level guys with points or mains or championships. I mean, they're paying a lot more, obviously, but their approach is something different that hasn't actually been brought up at all. The more guys that they have, the more opportunities that they're creating for themselves as a team. I wanted to discuss this a little bit like last week or so, and I keep forgetting about it, but it's different, you know? But from him pulling out of the Star and going to PC, it's working for him, you know, to get back on topic. So obviously these different teams have different programs, and their programs aren't for everybody.
No.
You know, some train at Baker's Factory, you know, some are, they're all over the place. So, but they switch because, you know, it's just not working for them.
They think it's not working for them.
But then they, you know, some of them get to another spot and it's really not working.
Yeah.
But for Levi, it is on point.
He is a machine. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, he benefited himself by getting great starts, but then he just clocked out laps and no one was catching him. I mean, I know there was carnage and movement in the back, which opened up some gaps for him, but still, like, no one had anything for him. And I mean, I think his biggest rival, RJ, got stuck in the back and could not get forward. I mean, it could not get forward.
Yeah.
And Jordan Smith, who's his secondary rival, kind of the same thing. It's just I cannot believe Jordan Smith was able to race this weekend.
I agree.
I can't believe he looked okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know kind of we're going backwards with RJ in fourth and Jordan in third, but Joe Shimoda, the invisible assassin,
looked good this weekend.
He looked good. He still had to fight through a little bit.
Yeah, but he didn't have his typical issues. You know, with him in a high intensity situation like that, he's usually down once or twice per race. I can't remember if he went down at all.
I can't. I mean,
nothing crazy. I think he did have a tip over, but nothing that we're used to out of Joe Shimoda. And he looked really well. I honestly can't say anything bad about him this weekend. He's putting it together.
And he's got
what is he? You know,
I saw him on Friday. Michelle and I had the opportunity to walk around on Friday, and just that's the day to go tour stuff. And really, you can see the people as normal, normal humans. They're not wearing full team gear all the time. Mm-hmm. They're between press day and photos and media obligations, they're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
And he was taking pictures with fans. He was smiling. He's kind of looks like he's in a better place now.
Yeah.
And whether the results, if who knows if he has anything for Levi Kitchen, but he looks like he's in a better place. And I think that's important.
I think having something for Levi Kitchen is really pushing it.
Yeah.
Cause he's clicking.
Yeah. He's clicking.
I don't know that there's really competition for him. Jordan Smith is fast, but I don't know that he's that.
I don't know if he's consistent enough.
No, like Levi has come out of nowhere. But
he's, you know, it's funny. He's riding with Chase Sexton.
Mm-hmm.
He rides with Kenny.
Yeah.
I mean, the mentorship that he's getting right now
is phenomenal.
I mean, can you imagine picking their brains?
Yeah.
Because they all do their own thing. He's just there riding.
And he looks like them when he's riding. Obviously you were live. It's hard to pinpoint these things, but he's standing up in the turns. He wouldn't sit down until he was getting ready to accelerate. That's a Sexton, you know, a jet, a lot that these guys aren't seeing.
And he's a scrawny is not the right word.
He's tall.
He's tall and kind of a lanky dude. And we were standing beside him. He was watching a little bit of the Supercross Futures Hub thing. And he's just kind of a tall, lanky dude and just kind of nondescript. Yeah. But man, he can move a bike.
I'm telling you, this tall is what's working now. It used to be the total opposite. Yeah. You know, a bike comes up to my rib cage. These guys, the bikes come up to their waist.
Yeah, and it's hard for them to grip with their knees because they're so.
But they're standing up all the time, and it's such a different riding style. But look how much faster the racing is.
Yeah, it is. Julien Baumeer, man, he looked good at the start, and he kind of faded. He got eaten up. Like, he was in second. And then all of a sudden, Joe Jordan and RJ went by him, like, boom. Like, I don't know if he bobbled.
It was all, yeah, all at once.
I missed it if he bobbled or something.
He didn't. It was just outgunned.
Okay.
Yeah, and the way that the race lined up, they just he took a different line, and they all just snuck in, like, all at the same time.
Yeah, Thrasher ended up getting him later. Thrasher's one of those. Thrasher's kind of the enigma wrapped in a riddle to me. He mm-hmm. either wins or crashes, but at least this time he didn't crash. He finished fifth, so it was good. The one star Yamaha I want to talk about is Michael Mosman. He took a huge gnarly win in qualifying, and I think that messed with him the rest of the night because, yeah, he got a eighth this moto round, what a race, whatever they're calling him. Mm-hmm. But it was not a good night later on for him. It was a rough.
Yeah, I mean, you know that hurt.
Ooh.
So to even be back on the bike was a blessing.
Yeah.
But riding hurt like that is not easy.
But no, Carson Mumford also looked good to me. I know he finished 12th in the first one, but he looked racy.
Mm-hmm.
Very attacking. He wasn't just riding. He was attacking and putting up fights. So I think that's good. I know they're a little outgunned. I know that the Moto Concepts bikes are good bikes. They're not factory bikes, but they're good bikes. And he's giving that bike a good run.
Yeah.
I know the other guys have all jumped to 450s. He's the last 250 guy, I think. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He's riding it well. So really, I don't have much else. Our famous Frenchman, Anthony Bourdon, just doing Anthony Bourdon stuff. He looks like a bigger dude too. I didn't see him without clothes on, without race gear on. Sorry, without race gear on. But like, we got to see him kind of on the track, kind of rolling. And I'm like, he looks like a bigger guy.
Like I said, that's the build now.
Yeah.
The fast guys are the tall guys. But yeah, I mean, race one was pretty cut and dry. Honestly, all the 250s are pretty cut and dry, but you jump into race two, obviously Levi dominates again, but we have the same top four, and race one, Levi maintains around a 4 second gap, 5 second gap over the top four. We come in race two, we're in the same scenario.
Yeah.
The only thing we swapped is 2, 3, and 4, just a little bit. But Levi still maintained about 5 seconds over all of them, which is crazy. They literally had no competition for him at all.
No, and he cruised the last lap to lose a second and a half because he just
taking it easy.
Cruised and still won by 3.6 seconds. Like you said, nothing changed. The top five were the top five, just reverse order some.
All we swapped was Jordan Smith and Joe Shimoda. I mean,
Garrett Marchbanks got some more passing points. I wish that guy could get a start to see where he – I think he would probably finish near the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to see him be there instead of – man, he works hard to get there. He works hard to get to sixth. Ryder DeFrancesco, I don't remember which race it was in. That dude ate Tough Block.
Tough Block.
And it won. Like, he couldn't get – the bike was on top of him.
That's the thing. Those things are like Velcro. Yeah, he couldn't get the bike moved. He couldn't get off of it. It was rough.
And it was – I think it must have been the third one because his results still two top tens in a row.
He pulled the whole shot in race two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got the speed, and we know he's got the speed. His entire life has been speed.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of struggles in the moving to the new team, and he's been on Kawasaki his entire life.
And I think he's maturing into himself. You know, I think we talk about AC and the body starts growing and doing things that you're not used to. And all of a sudden you're trying to race the way you used to race and it doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah.
And he's filling out like getting taller. And like, I remember when he was this younger kid and now he's like, he's tall. He's not tall, but he's filled out.
Just like AC.
And so maybe it's going to take him time to figure out his body.
Yeah.
But nothing, like you say, nothing really extravagant in race two.
Michael Mosman did not finish race two.
Yeah.
I don't think he went down again, but I think the aching, I can't remember.
He did go down.
Did he?
Yeah, because they had to roll the triple a couple lap and a half because he did go down. Because I don't even think he took the green. Yeah, he didn't even start the next. Yeah, so he crashed on the far rhythm.
Yeah. It's just a rough go for him this weekend.
Yeah.
Actually, after just coming back, I mean, it sucks, but it's part of the game.
So, race three, I feel like it's repetitive.
A little bit. Obviously, Levi Kitchen dominates again, except he extravagantly dominates this time.
Yeah, whole shot and just leads.
RJ comes out of nowhere and actually has something for him. You know, he maintained a pretty small gap with Levi most of the race, you know, 2-3 seconds. But it wasn't until the last few laps where RJ actually
– yeah,
or Levi pulled away from RJ. So that RJ came out of nowhere. But you get Jordan and – it was RJ, Joe, and Jordan. Joe and Jordan Smith were much farther back that race.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I mean, it's Levi Kitchen was just on top of the world.
He was feeling it very much like one of the 450 competitors we will talk about was feeling it this weekend. Mm-hmm. He was feeling it, and there's really not much to say. The top four, five, actually the top five were the top five pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
They just flip-flop positions, and they kind of, for a while, I know the gaps at the intervals at the end, there's 4 seconds, 4 seconds, 3 seconds, but they were separated from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they freight trained for a while. And then they'd kind of gap, whether a mistake or a bobble or I can't push anymore.
Yeah.
You could see the gap starting to expand. But for a while, those gaps was like, I don't know who's going to win this. And at one point, there was a group of them coming up for lap riders. And I thought, how are they all going to make it through here? Because there was like four lap riders.
The lap riders were crazy this race. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
And when they got into them, they got into all of them.
Yeah.
Quickly. So I was waiting for one to not hold a line and take somebody out. And like, that's the excitement that is, I mean, it's terrible, but that's the excitement that I was expecting to happen. Well, and it really didn't.
That happened to Levi. He came around the inside that final triple before the finish. He came around and he shouldered a dude. Like the dude bobbled and shouldered him, and that could have been nasty.
Could have been, yes. But like I was waiting for something like that to actually happen with that amount of ruts and the lower level riders just cross rutting and sending a bike into one of them because it was close. Like there were so many of them in a pack.
But no, Levi Kitchen looked good. RJ, I guess the championship, I mean, I hate to say it, the championship is starting to whittle away, go away. Levi Kitchen is looking like a – and I've got some thoughts on Levi Kitchen, Cameron McAdoo, Austin Faulkner. Levi Kitchen is looking like the champion. Guess what? That means defending 1 year and then 450s here we come. Because I believe we know AC's gone this year.
Mm-hmm.
McAdoo's contract is over this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see a McAdoo to a 450?
It's possible. I mean, you never.
I haven't heard anything about it, except I know McAdoo's contract is over.
I don't know. I mean, he's been in the game for a little while now.
Yeah, he's a clean cut guy. He fits a corporate mantra.
He's ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's possible. It's very possible. He might want another championship under his belt before he does it. He might just stay 250. Some of these guys don't move.
Yeah. Now they don't have to.
Yeah. So you never know.
I don't have to, but
that'll be something we find out later in life.
But yeah, so 250s. I mean, it was what it was.
Like I said, it was so cut and dry. 250. The racing was actually very boring on TV. 450s got much better.
Real quick, somehow Shimoda with a 2-3-3 ended up second, which I love the scoring. Just it cracks me up. RJ with a 4-4-2 finished fourth. Jordan Smith. Hey, for as much crap as I said about maybe he shouldn't race, to put together a 3-2-4 and come out and kind of not be your own trouble and get third, it's not bad.
Yeah, he had it figured out.
So
honestly, so
Phil Nicoletti, who didn't even finish the first race, goes 9-8 and finishes 12th. You got to love that you can almost throw away a moto and still get a 12th for the night. Yeah, it's not bad. But other than that, there's really not. Carson Mumford with a 12-10-9 gets ninth. Ryder D, top 10. Julian Bomer, great night, 6-8-7. That's for KTM to choose him and push away a rider that they had. I feel like that's not – they've maybe – they're giving him the leeway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, he looks – he's got speed. The dude has some speed. It's, I don't know if it's fitness. I don't know if it's comfort. I'm not sure, but not bad. I mean, so I'm pretty high on Julian. Seems like a good kid. So I was trying to find the points, but I don't have the points. I didn't print those off. But no, shall we jump to 450s?
Yeah, 450 LCQ. Colt Nichols, Cade Clayson, Jeremy Hand, Vince Freeze. Kind of typical LCQ stuff.
Yeah. How crazy is it that the 450 LCQ had Colt Nichols in it?
I know. But it seems like that's kind of normal the last couple.
Yeah, when you're out of the game for a while.
Yeah, and you're coming back in on a brand new bike.
And maybe, you know, maybe he's so... He was such a good test rider for Honda and a good, he did the yeoman's work for Honda. And then he was on a Kawasaki this summer and now he's on this bike. Maybe it's just tough, like trusting that the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And because there were times, and this is weird to say, that during qualifying, Benny Bloss looked better than Colt Nichols. And Colt Nichols is style. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's style. And he did. And when Benny Bloss, who is a great racer, I do not take, but Benny Bloss, the baby giraffe, is looking more stylish than the stylish rider, there's a problem.
Yeah, something's not jiving, whether it's the new bike or what's going on or just being off so long. But I think he'll figure it out. I think he just needs more time on that bike.
Yeah.
He came out of nowhere, you know, back off injury and onto a new bike. I just don't know that there was enough testing, and I don't think that the bike was ready for him.
Yeah,
per se.
Could be what he's looking for.
Yeah, and we obviously we didn't get Ty Masterpool.
No, but he put in some hellacious qualifying laps.
Yeah, he should be there. I think he's just not where he needs to be yet.
He's still trying to learn. And this track, Michelle and I were talking. This track. The two rhythm lanes were pretty technical, and as much as he's dominating, he's a very good dominating motocross racer. The transitions, the pockets, the timing had to be perfect.
Yeah,
and if you're still trying to learn that, I feel like you give the guy a pass. Like, okay, qualified into the night show, awesome. Doing that race during race time is a whole different thing. I think he gets there, but I didn't see any disappointment. Like, I felt fine watching him. He just didn't make it. But I mean, he didn't make it. We either did Anthony Rodriguez, Jerry Robin, Josh Cartwright, and these guys have a lot more supercross experience than him. So it is what it is. The guy's fast. He'll figure it out, or he'll struggle in supercross and just do it. Yeah,
I mean, it's supercross isn't for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll get into race one. Like I said, unfortunate for Ty Masterpool, for the whole HBI team this weekend. They have a good program going. So
they're doing some cool stuff with their gear, too.
Just everything. Yeah. I mean, HBI is going to go places. They're already places, but they're doing something different from everybody. And that's what we love about them. Besides knowing them personally, just a cool program in general. But yeah, race one, something that we never thought was going to come again.
Dude, in qualifying,
kid was an animal. I didn't even want to say kid. He's not a kid.
He's not a kid. He's got kids.
Yeah. I mean, he's we're the same age. He's, I guess I can't call kids kids.
He, in qualifying, he came out. He was never the guy holding off in the back. He was always in the front on the fake start, the real starts. He was putting together in the second qualifying session, he put the track together in a way that he only doubled one time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was a triple coming out of corners, every rhythm. There was one double at the end of the first rhythm lane after the start. He doubled that. He is banking off the berms so hard. I'm like, okay, are we going to see Tomac tonight? Like, are we going to see Tomac tonight?
Yeah.
And we saw Tomac tonight.
Oh, my God, yeah. And that's even he, you know, he said, I felt like myself again. And that's.
Oh, by the way, he had an injury that no one knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no balance on the bike.
Yeah. And that's to get Tomac back, if it stays, you know, if Tomac found his groove again and he's feeling like Tomac and it stays there, things could change in a hurry.
I still don't know. I say this knowing he won all the races. Yes, he beat Jet. He passed Jet. He got ahead of Jet. But I still don't know. Jet's crafty enough and smooth enough. In order for Eli to do what Eli does, Eli has to basically put the nuts on the pad bar and just go.
Yeah.
And he rides that thing like a Bronco bull.
Yep.
Jet rides like a dressage master.
Yeah, smooth and flowy.
Yes. And I still think Jet's
hard to beat. And for Eli to beat him by 4 seconds is wild.
But I also think Jet says, okay, if I win the next one, we're going down to the wire. Which we'll get to that because he did, and we were until we weren't.
Yeah.
But
we'll get there.
But Eli, damn man, he looked good. Like it looked as a fan of Eli Tomac, I set an industry seating and was like, oh wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is what I never got to see live.
Yeah. we got an AP in the first one, which was great. He looked good.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked good.
Really good.
But they weren't close.
No, they weren't, but he looked good. Like that's the very top of the 450 class is different than the top five.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different level of riding.
We had a Jason Anderson sighting.
Yeah, just within the top five. But Justin Barcia, surprisingly, has been getting better every week, and he was there. We'll get to him a little more, but he looked like Justin Barcia again, and he's kind of where he should be. That's not something we've seen from him. He's been struggling on that bike for the entire season now. So to see him up in the close to top five, top six, I mean, he was right there within the top five.
Yeah.
So that's not something normal for him, but neither is seeing Sexton in a 10.
No. Well, Ken Roczen. I mean, he was in that melee with Adam.
Yeah.
And damn it, man. I'm hoping that we haven't seen the it was supposedly a high ankle sprain, so we'll see. But he looked
– he twisted rough. That leg.
Yeah.
I watched the replay over and over and over again, and it was twisted pretty good.
Here's my thing. He's the second rider that looks like – I know they're not, but it looks like they're clipped into the pegs because the body is staying – it's not separating. It's staying on the pegs, and that happened last weekend with a dude like literally getting slammed down and his feet never left the pegs.
Yeah.
I know they're not, but it looks like they're like clipped in.
Yeah.
Because they're staying. It's like watching a bicycle racer that can't
get. They swap these pegs out and their pegs are like razor blades.
Yeah.
So you get stock pegs that are, the spikes are kind of rounded.
Yeah.
These factory pegs.
Oh, they're sharp.
Yeah.
And the brake pedal matches it.
Yeah. So if you take a look at Dean Wilson a couple of years ago and look how his ass got a second hole.
Yeah.
Well, a second crack.
Yeah.
And they could stuff 30 feet of gauze in that hole. I mean, they're riding on razor blades. So for them to be attached to it is not, you know, not out of the question because they're literally, those pegs are digging into their boots.
And that was a tight section. That corner was Carnage Corner. for a lot of the races. But I hate, I mean, Ken, you know, it is what it is. He ended up still having okay. But Justin Cooper quietly was in the mix until he got shuffled.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the kid's going to pull off some stuff,
yeah.
Maybe in outdoors, but he's quiet. He's that quiet, just doing mm-hmm. my job. I'm the third rider for Star, and I'm just doing my third rider stuff. And Cooper Webb, fifth, but he was there. He was there. I mean,
yeah, he was a ways off of the top, but yeah. It was a mediocre ride for him.
And then Colt Nichols, who qualified out of the last chance, finished 11th.
Yeah.
I mean, it's race time. The lights come on, and they drop the gate, and he was ready to go.
Different mindset. But yeah, it was a rough one for Roczen and St. Cirillo. Like you said, I think he'll be back. He says he'll be back this next weekend. I mean, he gets a week off to rest it.
Yeah.
I think he'll be okay.
I hope so, because I'd like him to finish on his terms.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations to his mechanic. It's kind of weird that you lose your mechanic in the middle of the season and the NASCAR team is picking you up in the middle. There's two dynamics there I haven't quite figured out, but I don't know what he's doing for a NASCAR team. They didn't specify which team or what he's doing, but mm-hmm. The fact that his mechanic is leaving now to go to NASCAR in the middle of both seasons in the middle, it's yeah. kind of odd to me. Like, and I don't know who, because Cowie's pretty picky on who they have working on their bike. So
mm-hmm.
pretty interesting to see how that plays out. Mitch Oldenburg, you know, second race on the 450, he gets the hole shot and then he goes to 14th. And I don't know if he was in that. Was he in that melee with, was he in the melee with?
Cause yeah, he caused it.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got the hole shot and then biffed and then
he's the one that yeah. dumped everybody. Yes.
Yeah. So,
he just came up short and then, chucked his bike into.
Yeah. AC. And
yeah.
I think it kicked.
And it just kind of threw everything off. But race two is where everything got exciting.
Yes. And race two was, that was the Jet Lawrence show.
Yes.
Justin Cooper had the whole shot.
Yeah. But it was the Jet Lawrence show until it wasn't.
Yes.
I have a few things to say about how this race ended, but we'll go through the race, you know. Jet won. Congrats to Hunter Lawrence for being there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Tomac was right there.
Because we didn't even touch on Hunter, and he
didn't have such a good first race.
He was eighth in the first race.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. But
where we've all said he would be, 7 yeah, through 10.
But he was riding well.
Yes.
All day. So we get into race two, and he was where he needed to be. Jet just did what Jet needed to do. And went out and rode the race. I mean, Tomac held a good gap with him up until right at the end, and then Jet pulled away.
Tomac said he started looking at – he said, I know his lines.
Yeah, and that's scary
yeah.
for him. But he, you know, he – as the old man, he – as they – what they're calling him anyway. He's able to figure those things out. And if you get behind Jet – and he gets to study that. That's bad. That's yeah. bad news. But let's just get to the end. I mean, it's because this is where it gets crazy. So Jet comes over the line. I don't. Yes, you have to watch for the flags. It's the end of the race. And once you cross the finish line, the race is over. So one, that medical flag is just kind of there, but it's kind of not.
It was pretty easy to see. I'm guessing as a racer, you could see it.
If you're looking in the right spot, yes. But all the ruts are going to the outside. You're looking at the face of the jump. You know it's the end of the race. You're looking at the face of the jump the whole way left, and that flag is the whole way right. You, as Jet did, you see it when it's too late. But, yes, you can't jump on a medical flag. But you cross that finish line, which is right there. That's the end of the race. So, I understand for the safety of the riders, but if the race is over, how can you penalize when the race is over. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was a very gray situation, and he wasn't the only one. So, Jet, top guys, Jet, Sexton, Webb, Plessinger,
how did Tomac, Anderson. How did Tomac see it?
Did you notice how Tomac caught it right at the end and slammed and then rolled? If you're looking over, that's mean you got to be looking over. Or Jet said, you know, I knew it was the end of the race. I'm just looking at my line. And I guess, you know, you're Jet, you're going to win the race. You're thinking about, oh, am I going to throw a whip? Am I going to? That's the kind of stuff that goes through your mind. So you're not looking over. You know that, and you know the race is over. You know it's a checkered flag. Why do you need to look at the flags? So, and when you get all the top tier guys, Sexton, Webb, Plessinger, Anderson, doing the same thing. I mean, I don't know.
Well, Anderson did it twice.
Yeah. He did.
He did it twice.
Like, he's on rails all the time, but I have mixed emotions about how that all happened.
Well, the one thing I have mixed emotions on, there were guys that were getting ready to go a lap down. The flag was out. The flag was out before they came.
Mm-hmm.
There were guys in front of Jet that were, they did not get penalized. I'm wondering how that, because there were guys that jumped it before. Because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to get penalized. And then Jet came around the corner and I'm like, oh my God, Jet's going to get penalized.
Yeah.
But, and I stopped paying attention because I was trying to figure out who was down. Like, I was like looking, trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And by the way, the poor guy, he cannot stay out of drama because even in the third one, he's subliminally involved. Vince Freeze is the reason that this happened because mm-hmm. he was the one down.
Yeah. But he was off the track.
Yes, but that has happened before.
Correct. Not like that's not a big deal. You need a medical flag, you need a medical flag. But it wasn't being waved, like to catch attention. It's just sitting there, blowing in the breeze. Not even blowing, just sitting there. There is no breeze. You come around a turn that has a massive platform, and it's level with the jump. I mean, I don't.
We were contemplating: is there any other place that you could put that flag? Yes, they could have put it on the left, but you couldn't wave it because they were literally next to the
But he's the throwing structure. The checkered flag just fine while he just holds that one. Swap them. Maybe you can catch the eye just a little bit as that one's waving. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think when you get that many guys penalized, then you should be looking at, you know, what did we do something wrong?
Yes, but I will go to – here's my argument. Chase Sexton last week – they put on his pit board, jumped the sand double,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I don't even look at the pit board.
Exactly.
So these guys, they're so tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go to a car race where they have corner workers, there are flaggers everywhere.
Yep.
And if you don't oblige those flaggers, who they're off the track by a lot because cars are coming in at 130 miles per hour, they're off. You know where those flaggers are, and you know what you need to be mm-hmm. paying. So I understand, but I also, these guys get so tunneled that they can't look at their pit board. Well, what makes you think they're going to,
I agree. I mean, cars, you're not looking for ruts. You're not, but this track, they knew what lines they were taking.
Yeah.
Especially when you're out in front. I don't know. Like I said, it's such a gray area.
It changed everything. And Michelle and I bantered back and forth on it. I think what you got to do, and at least they got everybody. They penalized everybody.
Yeah.
But I don't know of another way. Do you do like you do for the triples? And if the lights are flashing, you can't jump. Like, that's the warning. So
yeah.
I don't know. Do you have to go to something like that?
I think there might be something different after this because you know there was probably a talk with the teams and everything. But we got, because the top HRC. Red Bull KTM, Star Yamaha, and PC. Four top teams had a rider in that mix.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like I said, gray area. I think they shouldn't have been penalized. That's just me, because the race was over. But, and you had that many guys. But, like, you know, obviously you can't jump on a medical flag. So it's, yeah, like I said, it's such a gray area. But in my opinion, they should have not have been penalized. It would not have changed the next race anyway. So.
Well, we don't know that, because we don't know the mindset of what Jet was feeling.
Oh, he was not happy.
Yeah.
Could it have changed the mindset a little bit? Maybe. But if what transpired still transpired, then it would not have changed regardless.
So let's jump into the third race. Eli's had a good evening so far. So let's go ahead and, man, I was watching the reactions at the gate. I was trying to watch the box, and Eli was beside the box, and Jet was on his other side. And I watched so that, you know, they're doing the 30-second countdown, and there's, you can hear the bikes. And then as the girl turns the card sideways, the whole line goes down. Tomac's reaction time was like John Force.
Mm-hmm.
That gate started, he was gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, he got a good start. Well, he got the whole shot. He pinched people off at the end, closed some people out, and he gets the whole shot. And you're like, all right, okay, we're going. Jet did not get the whole shot. Jet was kind of in the mix,
mm-hmm,
in the pack. And then all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And it broke loose pretty well. I've got some arguments, because everybody's like, you can't take that line. You can't take the line Barcia took. Moto 2, race 2, Tomac took the exact same line.
There's no...
That Jet took. He took the exact same line that
there
Jet
was a
took.
Lot of... Well, there's Barcia again. That was a racing incident. Like, yeah, he came in hot.
Well, he was trying to close off...
Jet actually cut down very quickly.
Yeah.
So, he... It's like Jet didn't even turn. He literally, it's like Jet cut track. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That line was there. That was an inside to outside sweep.
Yep. Trying to close. He was, ironically, here we go again.
Mm.
He did nothing wrong. He was trying to close out Freeze, because Freeze was on his inside.
Yeah.
And he was going to go inside.
And did
to
you notice Freeze was going straight as well?
Yes.
Had those two, Jet's not there. Okay. Take Jet out of the picture. The two riders that were coming around would have already been gone when Barcia came in there. If Jet follows the outside and takes those two on the inside, like you would predict as a racer he's going to do, then this never would have happened. Barcia would have went to the outside around Freeze, because he had the speed, and Jet would have already been long gone. Barcia would have been up on those next two riders. Jet decides to cut down instead of taking the full outside.
Trying to make a move.
Barcia doesn't even see him. You know, it's as quick as Jet can pivot, there's nothing you can do.
No.
That was a gnarly hit. Like,
it was a big
gnarly hit. I expected a broken leg.
We couldn't see it. We saw people go down. We didn't know who was down, because that berm was blocking our view. But all of a sudden, I see Jet get up, and he's holding his arm, and he's barely walking. I'm like, oh, dude, that sucks.
I truthfully expected a broken leg, and to get hit in the arm at that force.
Yeah.
You know, broken elbow. I didn't think he hit high enough for a collarbone, but you got an elbow out, snap some bones in the elbow, which is still possible. Haven't heard yet.
Yeah,
still possible. I mean, he rode in severe pain the rest of the race.
It was a cautious finish.
Yeah, and you know he was hurting. And you can break an elbow and still finish a race. It just hurts. But if you totally dismember the thing, it's a different story. But to chip bones off elbows, it's still doable. I guess we'll see what happens. But there's nothing he could have done. It was a racing incident that was very unfortunate, and probably one of the gnarliest T-bones we've really ever seen.
Tomac took that same line that Jet took in race 2 and got away with it.
Yeah, that was a Chad Reed, James Stewart T-bone years and years ago where Chad Reed launched Bubba out over a berm.
Well, after Barsha hit him, you can see Barsha almost gets off his bike to go check on him.
I thought he was going to. I honestly thought he was going to get off. He stopped and was looking, and he, you know, face-palmed his helmet, and you knew that it wasn't on purpose.
And after the race, which I don't know if they showed on TV, immediately after the race, he went to the AMA official, the guy with the white hair that starts everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He went to him immediately after the race, was like pleading his case of like, hey man, I wasn't trying.
Yeah.
And then he went, which is awesome. He went straight to Jet and they
talked it out.
And, but what we probably didn't see on TV, Gas and Honda behind the mechanics area, I thought they were coming to blows.
Duking it out.
But some KTM guys jumped in the middle and, like, separated them.
Mm-hmm.
There was some pissed off mechanics.
Oh, I'm sure.
And man friends and whoever down there that it was.
Getting ready to get wild. Yeah, they didn't show that.
Yeah, it was like, okay, so we're about to see, because we were right there. And it got nasty for a bit.
Yeah. But congrats, Eli Tomac. I'm glad he pulled it off. He needed it. I think it's, if that mentality is going to stick, it's going to be an interesting finish of the season.
I will tell you that as good as he looked, Cooper, I don't know if Eli was slowing down, but Eli didn't appear to be slowing down because he was still nailing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper was coming.
Yeah, he was. He put it together, but Cooper's right there in the championship now. We're 8 points down. So it's going to be close. And if Jet has any kind of injury, there's going to be some problems.
Yeah.
And
Chase Sexton made an appearance.
Yeah. even if he has injuries and he's going to ride, like it's rideable, it's still going to hurt. You know, he's got a week to deal with it, 2 weeks technically, you know, to let it heal. But it's, I don't know. I guess we're going to see what happens. But yeah, Webb was there. Sexton was there. Hunter Lawrence finishes in a fourth, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, he actually earned the fourth. Now, he did the Joe Shimoda on the podium. I can't wait to earn a podium that I actually earned. When Joe Shimoda did that the first time, he got a podium. Ken Roczen comes through with a fifth. Aaron Plessinger, good night. But boy, once the wheels came off for him this year, they have just
mm-hmm.
– he is – just back being Aaron Plessinger. Well, the old Aaron Plessinger. What about Shane McElrath? He put in a good ride.
I had him in fantasy at a 15. And I'm like, you know, that's pretty average for him. And he comes out of nowhere.
So the funniest thing, top 10. We're getting ready to watch the first race, maybe qualifying. I can't remember. And McElrath and Bloss are standing side by side. It is two massively white bald heads, like the color of this paper.
Yeah.
And I told Michelle, I said, oh my God, it's like senior citizen week out here. Plessinger's got the balding with the long hair of the Michael Bolton look going on. And I'm like, Jesus, these guys look like they're 45 years old.
Oh yeah.
And it's funny because they're bald. And I'm like, but they're damn good. They put that helmet on and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But no, that was exciting. It was exciting. You hate to see the crashes. The only thing that happens with the crashes is it mix up stuff. Again, Colt Nichols with an 11th. Good night for a guy that barely made it in. He did well to salvage a good evening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Eli Tomac, man, it's very rare for him to get the whole shots. He got a whole shot, led every lap. Star Yamaha has to be pretty excited because they had a 1-2 finish. Cooper, man, that guy is just, he's crafty as can be. He is just crafty as can be.
He didn't have a good ride. I mean, he really didn't. He finished second in the third race, but what saved all of them was that the medical flag issue.
Yeah.
I mean, that puts Hunter in a podium spot, finally gets a podium. But Hunter did look good. Finished second, finished fourth, got an eighth.
Yeah.
He looked good. So I'm excited to come into Massachusetts and see what happens.
Yeah, it's crazy because you look at like Jet with a second, third, and a 21st overall for an eighth, and it's like that was a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
That the medical flag actually wouldn't have hindered him as much had he made it through the third race. Whether he wins or not, it would have been a third or second overall.
Yeah.
And that shot by Barcia, not, you know, Barcia can be dirty. I don't think Barcia in the first lap of a main is trying to take somebody out of Jet's caliber.
Yeah.
I mean, he was probably just as shocked, like, holy shit, he's right there.
Yep.
Like, so as much as I don't like some of Barcia's tactics, I don't think Barcia did anything wrong except hit him. That was it.
It was a racing incident. So, but yeah, good racing. Honestly, 450s were the best racing there was. So we had Futures and KTM Junior Challenge. We typically don't touch on the Junior Challenge. It's just a cool little series.
They played music this time during it. So it wasn't quiet in there.
There you go. Well, it gives them, it's cool for the kids to get that experience. But sometimes you'll get some of these kids that actually turn into who we're talking about. But this, I want to touch on it this weekend because Connor Rodriguez is a local. He won the Junior Challenge this weekend. And my kids actually race with him weekend and weekend out. So Connor Rodriguez out of Spring Hill, Florida, comes, takes the win at the KTM Junior Challenge. We actually raced with him the weekend before. So it was cool. We sat and talked to his dad, Danny from 53 Graphics, painted his helmet for the challenge. And we talked to him about, you know, possibly coming on the podcast based on his results and stuff like that. So let's see if we can't get him and his dad to talk to us and give us a little insight on, you know, what the Junior Challenge is like.
They treat those kids, they're literally,
they're gods for the day.
They're across from KTM.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. The bikes are lined up. They do track walk. And what's funny is they were talking about, oh yeah, they take them on track walk and they're with the pros and, hey, what do you think about this rhythm? And I'm like, well, they're going to roll.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, do you stay on this inside? But it was funny because Lane Shaw, one of the kids walked up to Lane Shaw. I guess he's a Texas kid, you know, walked up to Lane Shaw and Lane was talking to him about, hey man, make sure on this berm, you stay on the inside. And,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought it was cool that Lane Shaw, who's a privateer trying to make his own way, took the time to talk to this kid and take pictures with him and talk to him about the track. And so for these kids, it's a day. They get introduction and get introduced.
They'll never forget it.
No,
ever. I mean, it's something that it's an awesome program, and you know we have every intention of putting our kids through it when we can, and just to get that experience that most kids don't. I mean, it's an expensive weekend, but it's worth every bit of it. They give these kids gear, bikes to run. They get to take their gear home. They just get all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah. So
parents running around with KTM shirts on, like it's
get to be on TV. I mean, it's like I said, it's an awesome experience for them, but it's really cool when we get somebody local that we race with every weekend that goes out and wins the thing.
Yeah, that is cool. That is really cool. It was fun. It was fun to watch. And, it was quite the battle to the end too. It was actually fun. There were two battles, first and second and third and fourth were actually fun little battles to watch. So it's not always the most exciting because it's dead quiet.
Yeah.
But DJ KO played music this time, so there was something going on. Like it was good. But this was a futures round.
It was a futures round. It's the last one before the end. Right?
Is it?
1, 2, 3. There might be one more. Can't remember off the top of my head, without the schedule in front of me. But Drew Adams goes out and does what future upcoming Drew Adams normally does.
He's a big boy.
He is. We pitted with them at Daytona. Drew's at a lot of the races we're at down here. He trains with Jet and Hunter and the whole clan.
How old is he now? His birthday was this weekend.
16.
16.
He's young.
Yeah.
So Landon Gibson, Cole Davies, Revan Gordon.
Landon Gibson, is he the one that's like 14 years old or he's young?
One of them's really young. I can't remember which one. But Casey Cochran looked really good in qualifying. And
He took a biffer in the rhythm
Yeah,
section.
which sucks. Casey Cochran, I can't believe he just hasn't went pro yet. He's rode a pro race.
Yeah, he has. But I haven't figured out. That must be a Husqvarna thing.
I'd say so. Maybe they just don't have the room right
Yeah.
now. But he's always out doing AMA events everywhere. So you'll see him soon. He is a good little rider. He's young. His parents are both Air Force pilots. He's got a cool little story. So if you ever want to check something out, I would definitely check their little story out. It's an awesome family.
Yeah, that and dad walks around very nervously
Yeah.
at the race.
Which
Like,
is crazy because of what they do for a living.
yeah.
Yeah.
Dad was marching back and forth. Like, not marching, that's bad, but he was literally pacing back and forth. And I told Michelle, like, I think that's Cochran's
Yeah.
dad. But no, there are also some names that this was a carnage race. Once Drew got the lead, some of it by carnage, some of it by good racing. Sorry, Towers went down, Cochran went down. There was some more guys that went down. I don't know what happened to Phineas, Mark Phineas, but yeah, he had kind of an off night. But it was the racing, the intensity that these guys are doing. Because for those that don't know, these guys, they're treated like the Supercross. They set Friday, they go through media, they have guest speakers, they got Stern talking to, hey, we're not coming to chase you down. If you don't turn your transponder in and your lights, we're charging you. They give them the best track to go out and practice on. They give them the worst track to go practice on. They have a good track for qualifying. They have a bad track for qualifying. So they get the full experience of
What it's
this is
like.
what it's like. And by the way, if you don't qualify, you go home. There were three guys that did not qualify, and it's like, oh dang, can you imagine? Like, you sign up, you go, and
Yeah, you made it in, and then
you don't make it.
you don't get to ride anyway.
So that's pretty intense to me, and I think it's a good slap in the face of here's what it's like. You're going to be racing against factory guys. There's factory Yamaha, there's factory Honda, there's factory KTM, there's factory Husqvarna. You're going to be racing against those, because I can tell you there were guys pitted with us in their little easy ups watching as Tower's bike and Cochran's bike and some other bikes get pushed back to the factory rigs. You're going to have to compete against that.
Yeah, and it's part of the game. I mean, you go pro, there's privateers, there's factory rides. It's part of what it is.
But I believe we won't see Drew after this year. We'll see him on Saturday night in the main show.
Not till he's 17.
Oh, so he's got to do this again. Oh.
You gotta be 17 to race.
So he's got a full another year then.
Yeah, because he didn't turn
16 until,
this weekend. So
yeah.
Easter, right around the same time, you might see him in a couple futures rounds, then maybe they'll bring him up after that. But Tyler Mollett, out of Stuart, Florida, local, sponsored by Moto Bros. Moto Bros is a local track around here. They have a team. We rode there Friday before we raced Dade City on Saturday, so it's cool to see that in the ninth place.
Yeah, and they had a nice little setup. They had easy up set up, and you could see, like, there, it's not the biggest setup, but he went out and put it in 10th and or 9th, and sorry, and that's what this is about, is proving you can do it. So no, it was funny, there was a couple guys that are sponsored by Self, like the guy that finished 16th, Noah Stevens. He's Self. Like, it was
Yeah.
just they're
Just
Self.
out there to ride.
And that's, you scored points. You got there. You qualified and you got there, and that's part of the battle. But no, their racing was intense. They put on a really good program for those guys. I know there's multiple ways for these guys to do it now, but if you can do it and you think you got the chops, because you're now on a real track. It's not tamed down, it's not Sunday afterwards. It is a real track.
I agree.
And but Drew Adams looks damn good.
Yeah, and he's going to continue to look good. He's got a good thing going.
Yeah, so is he now on? I guess he's Kawasaki Team Green,
Team
and
Green, yeah.
so he's
It's
pretty much,
not factory pro circuit, but it's close enough.
and he looks good, and he only had a couple bobbles actually. He looked, in some of the SMX rounds, he looked a little, or in that one SMX round, he looked squirrely at times. Yeah. I know he won. He looked pretty solid this race.
He's still a kid. I mean, yeah. He's still learning. He'll put it all together. When you're training with the best, you figure it out.
All right, real quick, Dade City, Easter Sunday or Easter weekend, egg hunts, racing. I even saw a report that Dade City, dude, the racing was next level this weekend. So tell us about it.
Yeah, racing was fantastic. Dade City Easter, the Easter weekend is big Easter egg hunt for the kids at intermission. 400 riders registered, something like that. It was wild. It was a good time. We brought home a win in the PW class finally. Danny from 53 Graphics, his daughter brought home the PW beginner win. We got like a sixth in the e-bike class, an eighth in the 50 class with my oldest. Finally brought home a trophy that he's been needing just for that confidence boost. Caleb went out really well. We had Seth Dennis there, Ronnie Renner. Who else was there? Another big name there too. Oh, Aiden Shive. Caleb Groves was out there riding with all of them without a problem on a stock 250. Some of them guys were on 450s. Seth Dennis rides for Factory KTM. So it's a really good weekend. Racing was, like I said, was phenomenal. We had Declan Mead. We've talked about him. Mm-hmm. He took a gnarly, gnarly wreck coming off one of the big tables, kind of ragdolled himself down the step up. It was wild to see. He's all right, thankfully. But it was a good weekend. Absolutely fun. Some of the best racing we've had there lately. So it was nice to bring home a win for sure.
Yeah, how does Bowen feel about that?
He was happy. Yeah. Extremely happy. He rode well. Very consistent.
Did he get ice cream?
He got a little bit of everything. Okay. He, like I said, he had fun. We all had fun. It's just one of those weekends where it was really, really enjoyable. No real bike problems or anything like that. It was just a good solid weekend. So if we can make it happen, we're heading to the Loretta Lynn's qualifier this weekend. So, up at WW Ranch, we'll see what we can do. Like I said, we're trying to make it happen. But we definitely want to get Caleb there and get him to Loretta's and get some pro points. So, we'll see what happens, but yeah, that was our weekend.
Awesome.
It was fun.
Awesome weekend of racing. And, we have a week off, so I don't know what we're going to do, but we got a week off and regroup pro side.
Mm-hmm.
You guys may be at WW this weekend, about as far north in Florida as you can go. Stay on the east side of Florida.
Yeah. If we can get there, I think we'll talk about that and, see if I can't line something up in the meantime. I think we got episode 50 coming up, so
yeah,
I think we might have something interesting in the books here we might want to talk about next week. So
perfect.
We'll see what happens.
Perfect. Well, this has been episode 49. He is Derek Schaefer. I am Trey Heath. And we do have some cool announcements coming up here soon. This has been episode 49 of the Beyond the Curve podcast. We will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.